As we continue our study in the Tehillim, in the Psalms, we come to the letter Tet, beginning in verse 65 down through verse 72. We have 8 verses using the Hebrew letter Tet in this great acrostic psalm on the Torah. Verse 65, we'll pick up there. It begins with Tov asita im abdecha, Adonai, kidvarecha. And notice we would translate it as, you have dealt good or well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Tov is a noun meaning you have dealt, or we could take it as an adjective, you have dealt good in a good way, we might say. So an adjectival use of tov here. Asita is a verb. It's a cal perfect second masculine singular from the root asa, to do. Notice the final hey has dropped out. It's a lamed hey verb, and the hey has elided. The I appears. Historically, it would have been a lamed yod form. So, hasai, we see that yod reappearing and the hey dropping out. So, you have dealt well. And notice, im abdecha, with your servant. Im, preposition, and abdecha from evad, meaning servant. Notice, it's in construct, it becomes avd in construct with the pronominal suffix cha. So you have dealt good, in a good way, or well, with your servant. Adonai kidvarecha, O Lord, and here's a proper name referring to the Lord's name, the covenant Lord, Yod He Vav He, the Tetragrammaton, O Lord, according to your word. Ke is the preposition according to, and Devar is the word meaning word. And notice it's according to your words, Devarecha, the Cha is a pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. And what the text is emphasizing here is the goodness of the Lord with his servant, who has dealt well with his servant, according to your word, from the noun davar, meaning word. Now, and we have that inseparable preposition, ke, before the word and the pronominal suffix, cha. Actually, it's a singular noun, according to your word. The wonderful truth about this text is that the Lord deals well with those who serve him. And the psalmist is driving that point home. And he deals with us graciously, in kindness, according to his word, which promises that. And we can bank on that, I believe, the psalmist is assuring us. And so we move on in verse 66. Tov ta'am v'da'at lamedeni, ki v'mitzvotecha Hehamanti. Notice tov means good, and ta'am means discernment. So good discernment. Notice ta'am is actually has the idea of something being tasty or good in taste. And so we're looking at God's word, which is tasty and good in terms of its value, its goodness. The psalmist believes in its goodness because it is true, and he wants to possess it, and that should be our desire. And notice the text says, teach me good discernment, moral discernment from your word. Moral wisdom, we could say. The da'at, da'at, va is a conjunction, and da'at is a noun meaning knowledge, and lamadeni is from the root lamad, which means to teach. And notice it is a PL, imperative, masculine singular from lamad. We have the pathak, which gives it away as a PL, doubling of the middle radical in the mem, and then the hinge in the tseri, and then the pronominal suffix at the end in e. Notice he's saying, teach me the right discernment, that I can know the value of knowledge, of your commandments, of your teaching, that I will be able to keep it because it is so valuable, the moral lessons that you give to me. Ki v'mitzvotecha amanti, for I have believed in your commandments. Ki is the conjunction, and ve is the inseparable preposition, the bait. Mitzvah is the noun meaning commandment, and notice the ot puts it into the feminine plural form, and the tseri yod shows that it's a plural noun in construct with the pronominal suffix ha, second masculine singular. For your precepts or your commandments, I have believed in. Amanti, from aman, to believe. Notice we have here a hifil, a perfect first common singular with the T suffix from aman. And that hey prefix gives it away as a hifil. And notice under the aleph we have a chatef segol, and that segol part of that shifts under the hey. And so that's why it's a segol rather than simply a hirik. So as we look at this great verse, he wants to be taught right discernment that he values, and knowledge, for he believes in God's commandments. He believes, since they come from him, that they have to be valuable and true in all of its ethical and moral teaching. And he wants to really be taught it. How we need that idea today, that God's word is what we need to hear from in the area of morals and ethics and how we should live our lives. So this verse is a wonderful verse teaching us that. It goes on, it says, verse 67, Terem e'ane ani shogeg, before I was afflicted, I was erring, or I did err. And then notice, as he continues, Va'ata imratecha shamarti, but now I observe your word. Notice terem here is often used as a preposition. Here it has a conjunction kind of an idea. Before I was afflicted. Notice he'ane is from the root ana, to afflict, and it is a cal imperfect first person singular from ana, first common singular, to afflict. So before I was afflicted, and it's looking at the imperfect, so we're looking at a complete or an ongoing kind of an affliction that he had suffered. Before I experienced that, I was erring. Ani shogeg. Ani is the personal pronoun, Shogeg, notice, has a holam followed by a tseri. So we're looking at a cow participle, masculine singular, from shagag, to err. So before I was afflicted, I was erring. But now, that here is a adversative or a contrastive use of the vav here. But now, your word I observe. Notice the ata is functioning adverbially here as an adverb, and imratacha is from imra, meaning word. It's in construct, that's why we have the final hey becoming a tav here, followed by the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So now, your word, shamarti, I have kept. Shamarti is your cow perfect, first common singular with the T suffix again. And it's one of the main verbs that one first learns in learning Hebrew. You think of the perfect conjugation, shamar, shamra, shamarta, shamar, shamarti, shamru, shamartim, shamartin, shamarnu. So it's part of that conjugation, and it is simply the cow perfect first common singular. So now, your word, or before I was afflicted, I was erring, but now your word I keep. The affliction that he went through brought him to submit to the Lord's word and to keep his word. And so sometimes in life, the struggles that we experience draw us closer to the Lord. And this is what I believe the psalmist is saying. I was erring from your word, but then, having been afflicted, I then now have returned and observe your word and want to keep it. So as we go on, Tovata umeitiv. You are good, lamedeni chukecha. Teach me your statutes. Notice tov is simply the adjective, and ata is the personal pronoun, second masculine singular. Good you are. You are good, and you do good. U is just your conjunction. Ve, before the mem, changes to a shurik. Instead of vem meitiv, it becomes u meitiv. And notice the meitiv is showing us that we are looking at a hifil participle, masculine singular from a tov. And notice the tseri under the mem, followed by the hirik yod, indicates that we're looking at a hifil, and the mem shows us that it's a participial form. So you are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. Lamadeni, again, is from the root lamad, to teach. And it is another PL, imperfect, second masculine singular from lamad, with the hinge ein and the pronominal suffix e, first common singular. So teach me chukecha, your statutes. Chukecha is from chok, meaning statute. That's something that's engraven. And notice chok changes from a o vowel to a kibbutz with the doubling of the kof in the plural. And so chok becomes chuke, and chuke is the plural noun, masculine noun in construct with cha here from chok. So teach me your statutes. The psalmist is saying, you are good. You are very gracious towards me and towards your creation. And so because of this, and because God is good, he wants to be taught his statutes. His statutes are not harsh, but they're to help us. They're to bring God's grace, the Lord's grace, to us and his goodness. And so he wants to be taught, and that should be our goal, to want to be taught by the Lord. And ultimately, it leads us to the Lord's goodness. And we as Christians need to see that we see that lived out in the life of our Lord. That his commandments were not a heavy burden, he said. For example, in the Gospel of Matthew, he says, "My burden is light, and what I teach you, my commandments are good, and they're light. And my yoke is light." This was often used of rabbis putting the teaching that they had onto someone. And Jesus is saying, mine is light. I bring grace. I bring joy. I bring happiness to your life. I do good to you in my teaching, what I teach. So we need to want to be taught by the Lord. And then in verse 69... the psalmist continues, Tafalu alai sheker zedim. The proud have forged a lie against me. Ani becholev etzor pikudecha. But I, with my whole heart, will keep your precepts. Notice the root tafalu is from tafal, and it is a cow perfect third common plural from tafal, and it means to forge a lie or to forge something against someone. In the psalmist's case, they were telling falsehoods. Actually, we could translate it like plaster someone or smear someone. That is the meaning of the root tafal. And so they plaster a lie against me. They tell that which is not true. They besmeared me and my character. And notice, a lie is the preposition al, followed by the pronominal suffix I. And we always have that plural pronominal suffix that normally goes on plural nouns with al, which is interesting in Hebrew. And so against me, sheker simply means a lie. And zedim means the proud. It is a masculine plural ending. Notice im indicates the masculine plural ending. It is from the root zed, meaning insolent or presumptuous. In other words, the insolent ones, the proud ones that are proud and they think they're right and they're arrogant, they besmear against me a lie, is what he's saying. But as for me, ani becholev, I, with all of the heart, I keep your testimonies. Ani is your personal pronoun, first person personal pronoun. And be is the preposition in. Chol is meaning the entirety of the heart, or with my whole heart. Adjective, the wholeness of my heart, or you could translate it with my whole heart, with all of my heart. I keep. Notice etzor is from natsar, to keep. It is the cow imperfect first common singular from natsar, and the nun has assimilated into the tsati here. Ensor becoming etzor by assimilation. This is a peinun verb, first person singular, indicated by the aleph prefix. So that's why we have the doubling of the sati, by the way, because it is a peinun verb that has assimilated into the tsadi, causing doubling. So I, with all my heart, I keep pikudecha. Pikudecha is from, meaning statue. And notice, when we look at this word, it's from, actually, it's from the root pikod. Pikod, meaning precept. And notice it's in the plural construct, masculine form, with the tseriyot. So, I keep your precepts. And cha is your pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So, he wants to say that even though lies are being smeared against me, or besmeared against me, by those that are insolent and proud, I want to make a statement that I, with all of my heart, I keep your precepts. This is a beautiful, beautiful truth here, that even when we might face slanderous accusations that would defame our person, we can remain committed to keeping the Lord's precepts. And we know that we find consolation in that. It is interesting that our Lord Jesus, when he was under attack, actually made little response other than he told the Father he had not come to do, to actually he was willing to take that cup and drink it. He was willing to, not my will, but yours be done, to keep his precepts even in the midst of slander that was going on against him. And that needs to be our pattern of life. And so he goes on in 70, and he's going to continue in this same vein, talking about how their heart is insensitive. And that's why all the more he's going to trust in the Lord even in the midst of that. Notice it says, Tefash kachelev lebam ani toratacha shi'a shati. Notice he says, their heart is, and actually the word tefash has been translated gross as fat. It can mean insensitive. Their heart is insensitive as fat. And I think the idea here is that it's sort of like the numbness pictured by their mind being covered with, can I say, insensitivity? And he's using the imagery of one's heart being covered with fat, being gross with fat, and where God's message cannot penetrate then into the mind because of the fat that covers it, seems to be the imagery. And so he goes on to say, their heart, and notice tafash is just your cow perfect third masculine singular from tafash, to be insensitive, ka chelev, as fat. Ka is your inseparable preposition as, chelev is a noun meaning fat, and lebam is the noun from leib, and notice am is your pronominal suffix in the plural, am, the personal pronoun, pronominal suffix, their heart is gross like fat. That is, it's can I say, non-perceptive to the Lord's spiritual ideals and to what he wants. They have a heart that cannot be penetrated into easily because it is covered, as it were, with fat that cannot break in to what the Lord wants to do by touching the mind. It has to work through that fat to do so, so to speak. And so it's the idea of insensitivity seems to be here, and he's experiencing this from those that are attacking him. But I, ani, there's that personal pronoun again, ani, I, Torah, I, your law, and notice Torah is the noun meaning law or instruction, and it's in construct with the tav, the final hey changes to a tav in construct, in that feminine noun. Torah becomes Torat, and ha is your pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So I, your law, and then a very interesting verb here, shi'ashati. Shi'ashati is, when you look at it, you wonder, well, what in the world is that? Well, it is what we call a pilpel form, which is more of a rare form, a pilpel perfect from sha'asha. And notice the T is your pronominal suffix, first person singular. And so I, your Torah, I delight in. And this pilpal form, which means to delight, can mean to pat on, or to treat fondly, caress. It has different meanings. And I like the idea of treating fondly. In other words, I treat your Torah fondly. And I think that's very different from having our minds covered with fat and are insensitive to God's Word and insensitive to the needs of others. He treats the Lord's Word very fondly, and He delights in it. And that's the idea that the psalmist is portraying, because it's the Lord's instruction. Even in the midst of facing the insensitivity of those that are attacking him and how they are impervious to spiritual ideals, he wants to be listening to God's ideals and opening up his heart and fondly treating them, caressing them, coming close to them, and hearing them and letting them penetrate into his mind, into his soul. And that's the way we should be. We should be delighting in the Word of God. I'm reminded of Psalm 1, but kiim b'torat Adonai chefso u'b'torato yegeh yomam b'layla. But his delight, the godly man, is in the Torah of the Lord, and in his Torah he meditates day and night. So notice that the form pilpal here, by the way, you have your hirik, and then you have your sheen and your ayin, and then you're repeating it. It's repetitious, another sheen and an ayin, but with an A-class vowel under the sheen. And that's where we get the terminology pil-pal, going back to the idea of palal. Pil-pal, actually, it happens in the Hebrew Bible, but it's not an everyday occurrence, would be the best way to describe it. So, at any rate, his delight, he fondly wants the Word of God to enter into his soul, into his mind, and he caresses it. He treats it in a delicate way, like patting on it, like one might pat a dog, looking at the intimacy that he has with God's Word. And I can't help but think how Jesus encourages us to meditate as Christians in the Word of God so that we can get to know Him in a deeper way. And it should be something we have a great fondness for, to get to know Him. And so we want to caress the Word, if I could put it that way, and treat it with fondness. That's the idea. Even in the midst of the, can I say, the hardness of those that are mistreating us sometimes, which you may experience as a Christian or as a believer. So we need to go back and delight in the Torah, delight in the Word. The psalmist continues then in verse 71, Tov li uneti. It was good for me that I was afflicted, lema'an ilmad chukecha, that I might keep your statutes. Notice tov is an adjective again, a good thing. So we might render it was a good thing for me, li. The lamed is that inseparable preposition followed by the personal pronoun in the hirik yod, first person singular. So it was a good thing for me that, conjunction ki, uneti, that I was afflicted. Notice uneti is the pu'al perfect, first common singular from ana. Notice the kibbutz gives it away, the doubling of the nun as a pu'al form. And so the T is your pronominal suffix. Again, this historically was a lamed yod root, a final hey. It's a final hey verb, which historically was a final yod, a lamed yod from the root pa'al, lamed being the third consonant that determines the position of the final hey or the final yod. And so this is, again, a lamed hey verb, and the yod is reappearing that historically was there. So it is a good thing for me that I was afflicted, lema'an, in order that I might learn. And notice the elmad is from the root lamad, to learn. The aleph gives it away as a first person singular from that root, and it's a cal imperfect first person singular, in order that I might learn from lamad, following the conjunction lama'an. And chukecha is from the noun chok, again, meaning statute. And notice in the plural, the kibbutz appears with the doubling of the kof. Often there's that interchange between cholam and kibbutz, or O and U vowels, and we see that here when this word becomes plural. So chukecha is the noun and its masculine plural from chok in construct with cha, which is your pronominal suffix again, second masculine singular pronominal suffix. So in order that I might learn your statutes. So what he's saying is, it was good that I was afflicted. Going back to like verse 67, he repeats that, in order that I might really give more attention to your statutes and your laws and what they teach me, for that's of enduring value. And he goes on then to drive that point home of the value of God's Word. Notice he says, Tov li Torat picha, the law of your mouth is better for me. Me alfei zahav v'chasef, is better for me than thousands, we could say, pieces, understood, of gold and silver. Notice tov is an adjective, and here it needs to be read with the preposition may. So the word or the Torah of your mouth is better. So it's a comparative use of the adjective to. Is better for me, and li is again that inseparable pronoun, the lamed, and the personal pronoun, or the inseparable preposition, I should say, and the personal pronoun e. So better for me is the law of your mouth. Torah is the noun again, meaning law or instruction, and at puts it in construct with picha, and pi is the noun meaning mouth, and ha again is your pronoun suffix, second masculine singular. So better for me is the law or the instruction of your mouth than, and that mem is a comparative use of the mem that makes the adjective a comparative adjective. So better for me is the law of your mouth than thousands. And notice aleph means a thousand, and the tser yod puts it in a plural construct with zahav and chasid. So better than thousands, and it's a masculine plural construct with the tser yod, of, and notice construct nouns or adjective and a noun, we put of between it, sort of like the Greek genitive. Then thousands of gold, zahav means gold, the noun, and va is your conjunction, and chasef is the noun that means silver. So God's teaching, the Lord's instruction is more valuable. What comes out of his mouth is more valuable and better than thousand pieces of gold and of silver. How we need to value the Word of God above all the money in the world. I'm reminded of a rabbi in Pirkei Avot, the saying of the fathers, in the Mishnah, the tractate in the Mishnah that is Agudot, meaning it deals more with ethics than Halakot, which deals more with rules. In the sixth chapter or section of that, there is the story of a rabbi who comes out of the house of Torah, of study, and somebody meets him and says, I can give you thousands and thousands of dinars and money. And he looks at this person and says, why would I want to do that? I've just come from the most wealthy house in the world. I've just come from the Beit Torah, from the house of the Torah. Let me say that I believe far more worth than anything that we could ever achieve in this world as far as money is meditating on the Word of God. It's more precious than all of the gold in the world, and this is what this text is saying. And I really believe that for a Christian who accepts Jesus, it's wonderful to be able to find the treasures that bring us to Him in our Torah study, in our study of the Word of God. And that's why, again, I think he said, search the Scriptures like you search for treasure. For it's about me, and it will make you wise unto salvation, Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And Jesus encourages us to build our life on that which is enduring. And we know that the gold of his word is the most enduring study. Those instructions, his Torah, will be more valuable to us than anything we can ever spend time on. For it ultimately takes us to know the Savior in a deeper and better way.